Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project, the Italian Grand Prix. It brought a lot, but also sort of only a little at the same time. We do have a lot to talk about, but first we have a weekend off before Baku, which is a very welcome break for me as I'm getting married this weekend. There will still be an episode next Monday, but one that I have already recorded, so I will be taking some time off. If things are quieter on socials, that is the reason. But in this episode, I will be talking about the latest headlines, including my thoughts on Gasly's re-signing at Alpine, Daniel Ricciardo's announcement and official retirement from racing, the Papaya Rules incident, lots to talk about there, and whether or not that was fair, Ferrari and Williams, sort of roller coaster weekends, and much more. But let's dive into the news first. So Pierre Gasly announced this past week that he has signed a contract extension with Alpine until 2028. I have to say this took me by surprise. That's a very long contract for a team that's been towards the back of the grid for several years. Pierre's a very talented, experienced driver. Alpine has had a lot of management issues. It's losing its engine program in Renault and pivoting to become a customer team. Next season, they will be customer team of Mercedes. And I understand that Pierre probably doesn't have a lot of other options on the grid or no other options on the grid at this stage, but a lot can change in a couple years, especially with a new set of regulations next year. So the long-term nature of it is what's a little bit surprising to me. And look, I'm sure he's built in a lot of escape clauses regarding the car and their performance should it be a disaster. You know, no contract, I guess, is ever bulletproof in this sport, but still, it felt to me a little bit surprising that it was through 2028. It signals to me, I guess, that Pierre, despite everything that's happened, despite their performance, still has confidence in that organization, is feeling good maybe about their 2026 car with the Mercedes engine. I guess if I were a Mercedes customer team, I would be feeling pretty happy about that because I'd be feeling good about that engine too. So I guess let's see what happens. We're obviously still waiting for his teammate announcement. So the open question there, has Franco Colapinto done enough? I don't think he's been bad enough, quote unquote, to justify bringing Doohan back necessarily, but will they give a chance to someone else potentially? I don't know. I would guess that Franco Colapinto signs a one-year contract for 2026 with Alpine, but could be wrong there. I know I've also been saying that Alpine is for sale, so maybe this is proof against that, or maybe Pierre is just the valuable asset they need to command a good price for that team, but I certainly do hope that they turn it around. They're sitting last in constructors right now with only 20 points, I think, and the next team is more than double their total, so it's not looking pretty in terms of car, and this regulations era hasn't been great, so let's hope that next season is better. I'm happy to see Pierre stay on the grid. I do think he's a very talented driver. They do have a lot of respect, as I said on Instagram when this all dropped. I have a lot of respect for a driver with team loyalty. I think a lot of people we've seen that play out really well in the case of someone like Lewis Hamilton, in the case of Lando Norris, who has stuck with McLaren. And even when it seemed crazy to everybody else, do I think Alpine is going to be the next, you know, constructors champion in this next era of regulations? That seems like a tall order, but I guess you never know. So I think I said on Instagram, it's either the smartest or the worst decision that Pierre has made. And I certainly hope that it's on the smarter end of that spectrum. Second piece of news is that Daniel Ricciardo had a teaser in an announcement of his own this past week. So earlier in the week, he posted a photo with a Ford Racing sign with the caption, "More around the corner." Safe to say, it got a lot of people very excited, but for me, I think with all the comments he's made about being done with racing and feeling good about discovering all the other great things in life, I was 95% confident when that picture dropped that it was not a racing announcement, and that, and I predicted at the time some sort of ambassadorship role. And that is exactly what we got. He announced his retirement from racing. He's becoming a global ambassador for Ford Racing, which just rebranded at the same time last week from Ford Performance. And that houses all of their racing endeavors. So NASCAR, WEC, I believe in 2027, their partnership with Red Bull Powertrains, it's sort of all their motorsport related endeavors. So I'm curious what a global ambassador role entails. Will it just be marketing and promotion, which Daniel Ricciardo is very good at? Like, that's someone I would want to secure. Obviously, he's been in the Red Bull family for some time now. So yeah, I think he's a great asset for them to have in any capacity, but I'm curious if it means anything more than that. Like, will he have some sort of advisory type role when it comes to the racing matters, or is it really just kind of marketing, PR, promotion? So I guess we'll have to stay tuned there. Another driver market announcement is that Colton Herta is officially a test driver for Cadillac, which is entering the sport next year. He's an American. Cadillac's an American team. His name had been floating around in terms of potential drivers for the team, but the super license dilemma continues to rear its head with Colton Herta. As a reminder, there were some rumors that he would be racing in F1, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, or was it last year, but did not have enough super license. They weren't willing to make an exception, the FIA. So he was not able to drive. He's an IndyCar driver. And I think you need 40 points from qualifying events to on your super license to be able to race in Formula One. And IndyCar does not provide those opportunities. So Colton has been and still is short on points in terms of what's required to drive in F1. He will be switching to F2 next year. So alongside his roles as a Cadillac test driver, he will be racing in F2. And so that will get him hopefully enough qualifying points. I think he has 35 or something like that. So I think he just needs 5 more. Hopefully F2 will fix that. Other news on the Cadillac front, they did sort of a race simulation for Monza this weekend, which was super cool. So we got some footage of the team sort of behind the scenes doing race simulator type work. So I don't know exactly what that entails, but I imagine it's like, you know, pretending that they have drivers out there. What strategies would they call? How much data is coming in? I'm curious how they were getting data from a race like that, but pretty cool for them to be able to simulate that. And it's getting real. I've loved some of the content that they've posted. It feels a lot more behind the scenes, a little more raw. They mic'd up some of their employees on the day that they announced Valtteri and Checo. And so it was kind of cool to see what people were saying inside the factory there. But they're spread out across the UK and North Carolina, I believe. So lots of people around and good to have some American presence. In other news, Monaco, that Grand Prix, has been renewed until 2035. So I think I joked on Instagram that this will be silencing the haters for another decade. Of course, the haters will not be silenced. There are still plenty of people who are bemoaning that decision. You all did have some really hilarious DMs and reactions to this, especially about how to make Monaco racing more fun, including, you know, reverse grid and knocking down all these houses and making a better track with overtaking opportunities, making it a Lego race, all sorts of fun stuff, making it a karting race, like put them all in just like the same spec car, which would be pretty funny. I am personally happy about this. Yes, it doesn't really fit with modern cars and it's more of a relic of the past, but having been there this year, I do really think it's such a special and unique race. And in a world and sport now where everything is becoming new and expensive, and those who can afford it are, if we're being honest, like American races and Middle Eastern races, I think it's nice to have more historic races still on the calendar to balance it out a little bit. And yes, you could, I'm sure, get the same effect by bringing back Zandvoort instead of Monaco or Barcelona or whatever other race that's kind of classic and European. But I personally love Monaco. It's got so much F1 history and DNA, and all the drivers live there. And I just think it's a fun, special weekend to have on the calendar. So I am happy about that, even if the racing isn't great. But maybe next year with slightly smaller cars, we'll get a little bit more. They seem to be kind of throwing everything at the wall in terms of, you know, mandatory two pit stops. How else can we make this race exciting? The two pit stops didn't really do anything, but maybe they have other ideas up their sleeve that will make it a little bit more fun. And with that, let's get into the racing. For practice, not a ton of highlights, except for that the Williams were both really fast. Kimi had an off in practice, which was a tough start to his home race weekend. But for quali, Q1 out, we had Hajar, Stroll, Colapinto, Gasly, and Lawson. First time Isaac Hajar has been knocked out of Q1 in his career. So that's kind of a sad end to a great stat for him, but onwards and upwards. Q2 out, we had Ollie Berman, Hulkenberg, Sainz, Albon, and Ocon. Lando was pretty close to the drop zone there. He had a couple mistakes and really made us sweat. He was able to get a good time in at the end that got him up to P5, but it was nerve-wracking. And then it was also pretty sad for Williams because they were looking quick in practice all weekend. And I'll talk a little bit later about their quali pace versus their practice and race pace and what they think is going on there. For Q3, the question was whether Ferrari and Red Bull were going to use Hamilton and Tsunoda to help Leclerc and Verstappen with a toe, but neither team took that option. So the reason that they could have done that with Hamilton is he had a 5-place grid drop, so he wasn't going to be on pole regardless. So Charles had a good chance to potentially sneak up there. And then Yuki obviously has not been qualifying anywhere near Max Verstappen. Great that he got into Q3, but maybe they could have used him to give Max a little bit of a toe. But I kind of respect that neither team took that option and just let him fight for it and do it organically, but the announcers seemed to be surprised that neither team was going to do that. We did have some fast laps from the McLarens, but Max took pole with an insane final flying lap, and it was a track record at Monza, the fastest lap in F1 history, because Monza is, after all, the temple of speed. And he also broke the Red Bull record for most poles at Red Bull. So incredible pull for Max and just a stunning weekend overall for him. He was incredibly happy. Lando was behind him in P2, then Piastri, Leclerc, Hamilton, who had that 5-place grid drop. But shout out to Antonelli and Bortoleto for being the rookies up there who, after Hamilton's grid drop, started in P7 and P8. So good for them. For the race, shortest race in F1 history, if you don't count rain-shortened races, an hour and 13 minutes. And I think it was a race that gave us so much promise in the first few laps and then sort of settled into not a lot of excitement until, of course, we get to the Papaya Rules debacle, which I will talk at length about. Hulkenberg unfortunately retired on the formation lap, so he did not even start the race, which was very sad, especially because his daughter showed up so cute, dressed up in green and the whole thing. So bummer for him. He was like sad and confused on the radio. And then we had a couple pit lane starts. Both Isaac Hajar and Pierre Gasly took new power units, so they started from the pit lane. For the start, one of the most insane opening laps in recent history, I feel. Like, the announcers were losing it. They were loving it. It was incredible fighting between Max, Lando, Oscar, and Charles, that top four there. Lando did have a great start. He started P2 as a reminder, so he was up alongside Max, who then went off track and had to give the position back to Lando. And then so Lando was leading the race, and then Charles and Oscar, I think, traded places like 3 or 4 times. It was really exciting to see at the start. Another highlight in the first several laps. So Hamilton was up to P6 from starting P10 by lap 6. He did finish P6, so overall a pretty good charge from him, but most of that work was done pretty early. And then as we settled into the race, Verstappen just pulled away fastest lap after fastest lap. Another low light, I guess, lap 26, Alonso had to retire due to a suspension failure. He was very displeased on the radio, so not great. And then the Papaya Rules incident. So here are the facts. Lando was ahead of Piastri. He was ahead all weekend in terms of, you know, out-qualified Piastri, started, had a great start, was able to take the lead from Max, who did end up passing Lando again on track. But The team told Lando that they were going to pit Piastri first to cover Leclerc behind him. And Lando said, okay, as long as there's no undercut, which would have been true. And McLaren assured Lando that that was not going to happen. So Oscar comes in, has a beautiful, I think, 1.9 second pit stop. Then Lando comes in and has an unfortunately very slow stop, over 5 seconds, because the front left wheel gun had an issue. This allowed Oscar to gain track position. So McLaren made the explicit decision to give team orders, have Oscar give the position back. They got on the radio and invoked Hungary 2024, where I will talk about that in a second and what happened there. But Oscar did question the call. He said that they had agreed that a slow pit stop was part of racing. Why is anything different here? What's changed? But he did quickly oblige and let Lando through. But I think the big question here, of course, was that manipulation? Was that fair to Oscar? Should Oscar have even listened to McLaren? My overall feeling just watching this was extreme discomfort. I think whenever you have a team coming on the radio and, for lack of a better term, or maybe it is the right term, just manipulating the outcome in a way, it just makes you feel like, I don't know, regardless of who you're a fan of, I just don't like to see that. And I feel pretty unbiased here in terms of Oscar versus Lando. I like both of them a lot. I love McLaren. So yeah, I just felt uncomfortable watching it. So to talk about what happened in Hungary 2024, I did rewatch this because I wanted a reminder of just how it felt watching. And it honestly, it made me feel similarly very uncomfortable. And I think part of that reason it made me feel so uncomfortable was because of the way Lando had handled Hungary 2024 in terms of like ignoring the radio for so many laps, pulling a 6 second gap on Oscar. But what had happened there is they had had an unintentional undercut with Oscar, who was ahead of Lando. He was fighting for his first win. They had an unintentional undercut. So Lando came out ahead because that undercut was super powerful. It was not due to a pit stop error. It was just sort of a strategy blunder in a way. They then asked Lando to swap back, but it took several laps of Lando just pulling that massive 6 second gap, ignoring the team on the radio forever. They were quite literally like begging with him. They got to the point where they were like, remember, you need Oscar to win a championship. The way you win a championship is by being a team player. You don't win it alone. Like, please, basically. And so it took Lando forever and he was silent on the radio, but he did end up giving the position back to Oscar, and Oscar got his first win. And it was just uncomfortable, I think, all around. So Lando ended up doing the right thing, I think, in Hungary 2024, although they sort of handled the scenarios differently. Like, Oscar gave the position back right away this time. It does sort of rub me the wrong way that they're bringing up a race from last year. It just feels like scorekeeping in a way that I don't love. But I guess to convince your very competitive drivers it's the right thing to do, maybe you have to invoke that sort of thing. So for this race, Lando again was silent on the radio after the kind of botched pit stop. He was also pretty silent after the fact. One of the highlights for me was Max's radio. So GP gets on the radio to Max and is like, Oscar and Lando have swapped positions. And Max is straight up laughing. He's like, ha, just because they had a slow pit stop, he was dying. And I think to some degree, a lot of people felt the same way Max did. And it was hilarious that Max was sort of like commentating on the radio. And then after the fact, Oscar called it an incident in the post-race interview. He did say that he thought that it was the right call and that he did the right thing. So Oscar stood by the team's decision. Lando, who then ended up finishing P2, was on the podium. He got booed on the podium in Monza, which is just so not cool. Like, can people please just be respectful? One of you had a question on Instagram, Noemi, saying, I don't get the Lando hate. It's the team's fault. Oscar didn't get hate in the same situation last year. And I agree with that. Like, I don't understand why people take it out on Lando, who did not get on the radio and ask for that switch to happen. Like, the team decided it. It was done. That happened last year with Oscar getting his first win and having Lando let him pass. And so I just don't understand why it's like a personal thing towards Lando or why he deserves booing. It's not his fault. I did do an Instagram poll and it was about 70-30 in terms of you all not agreeing with the McLaren call. And I feel very torn on it. I think they should have just pitted Lando first. I don't think Charles was that much of a threat. I think they should have pitted Lando first and not put them in this position in the first place. But what was done. And after the fact, knowing the facts kind of as they were, it's just a really, it's a really tough one. I think in the one sense, as a fan, am I happy that the championship gap has shrunk a little bit? So hopefully we continue to have a good fight. Yes, of course. Do I think that should have been done through manipulation of the outcome? No. Do I think a pit stop error is part of racing? I think I do. I don't think the Hungarian Grand Prix situation last year was the right comparison point, because on paper, yes, I guess it looks the same in terms of we asked both drivers to swap when it felt fair, but that was a strategy call that ended up being wrong in Hungary 2024. And this was just a botched pit stop. And so I guess both of them are the team's fault, but yeah, I don't know. I think just McLaren needs to make it clear to both drivers what constitutes racing and what's really like a fair situation to give team orders in. But a lot of you have asked, is Lando favored by McLaren? Lydia, Rhiannon Hope, some other of you. I don't think so. I think that's well memed at this point in terms of, you know, Zach's favorite child is Lando and everybody loves Lando and nobody likes Oscar. And they really, you know, he's the golden child for McLaren and we want him to win the championship. I don't think that that's true. I think Hungary last year also proved that to a degree, even if they weren't apples to apples situations, like they really were pleading and begging with Lando to let Oscar through. I do think they're doing their very, very best to play the team game when it comes to papaya rules. And as much as I kind of cringe at that phrase at this point, I don't think they favor either driver. I think they know that they've got constructors in the bag and they want the championship to be as fair as possible. And with Lando's luck last weekend in Zandvoort and the retirement there, which was also no fault of his own, that was like the team's fault, the car's fault. Maybe they felt like Lando had too much bad luck that was not his fault for them to continue to just like let the team's errors ruin Lando's chance at a championship. So Hey Nolan also said this on Instagram. He said, can life just give Lando a break? And I do sort of feel that. As much as I love Oscar, and I think Oscar, if he wins the championship, it will be obviously incredibly deserved. He's an incredibly talented driver. I do think these past couple of races have shown Lando incredibly bad luck that I don't think is fair. And maybe life's not fair. Maybe Formula One's not fair. And this is all just part of the game. And who knows, maybe Oscar will have a retirement in the last part of the season. But I do think it's a tougher decision for McLaren than maybe the internet is making it seem in terms of the black and white situation. So while I don't necessarily agree with that call, I do sort of understand where their heads were at in terms of making it. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Four penalties this race. So Ocon, penalty king, got a 5-second penalty for forcing Stroll off track. He was not happy about that. Laura didn't sound happy delivering the news either. Kimi Antonelli got a 5-second penalty for driving erratically. He got the black and white flag for track limits. Ollie Berman got a 10-second penalty for causing a collision with Sainz. He also got 2 penalty points on his license. So not great there. And then, yeah, the highlight was the incredible win for Max. He pulled a 19-second gap, which is literally insane. Just, I still am not totally sure why the Red Bull was so much faster than the McLaren and the Ferraris this race. So well, at least Max was faster in that car than both of those teams. Ferrari had some really good straight line speed. McLaren was faster on the corners. Red Bull just seemed faster all around. There was a cute message from one of you that said, "Sometimes I forget Max is a dad. This win feels special for him." And I have to agree, it's only his third this season. I think we're so used to in this era, Max winning and being so dominant. But if we think about this season, it's really been sort of a tougher roller coaster ride for him. So I think every win means a lot. And every time he gets pole, and every time he does that on his own sort of organically and feels good in the car, it means a lot. And I think him proving to himself or disproving the expectations around him is probably the reason that he's still super excited to be in this sport. I think he loves to prove himself wrong. I think he loves to prove other people wrong. And I think he loves to pull out results like this in a way that I think only Max can. Couple other things to talk about. So a lot of you said solid drive for Lewis and Ferrari in general. I have to agree. It wasn't as exciting as it could have been with a podium or something like that. And in quali, it did seem like Charles especially and Lewis were quite fast. And so I was hoping for a little bit more, but alas, it is what it is. And then I know I said we'd talk about also Williams and their quali time. Why is that so off from their race pace? So they both got knocked out in Q2. And then in the race, they ended up doing pretty well. P7 for Albon, P11 for Sainz, who had an incident. So probably could have done a little bit better, but it was pretty good for them in terms of race pace. And apparently for them, the issue is with the tires and getting them up to temperature and in the right window for quali laps. They have more time in practice. They have more time during the race to get those tires in the right window. But when you have to sort of bang out a flying lap relatively quickly in quali, it sounds like that is just not working for them in terms of the car and the tires. And they also said that they think their car is very wind sensitive, which I'm not sure the aerodynamics of that, but food for thought. Interesting to hear. And I don't know, it seems like they have a good race pace car, but I wonder if they could get the quali laps right, if they could be potentially even fighting for, you know, definitely top five, maybe even a podium at one point. So for MVPs and LVPs, MVP, got to give it to Max. I mean, this was just sort of a vintage Max drive in the way that only Max can do. So I loved that for him. And it was exciting to see someone other than a McLaren, I guess, win the race. So good for Max. He's quite far behind in the championship, but I don't know. We'll see. Never count out Max Verstappen. And then I also have to give a shout out to Gabriel Bortoleto, who he loves this track, but he finished in the points in F2. This was the track where he went from last on the grid to a win here. And I think it was some crazy margin that he won by. So he loves this track. He's good at this track. He, I think, made the argument for best rookie in this race, especially with Kimi's penalty and all of that. So good for Gabriel Bortoleto. LVP, I think I just have to give it to Alpine, which is kind of a sad one, but they were just sort of nowhere in this race. They finished, I think, last of the cars that did finish the race. So not a great weekend from them. And especially it's sad after the hype around the Gasly contract announcement. So would have been nice for him to have a little bit better of a result. For the standings, all right, we have drivers. Oscar Piastri with 324. Lando Norris, 293, Max Verstappen, 230, George Russell, 194, Charles Leclerc, 163, Lewis Hamilton, 117, Alex Albon, 70, Kimi Antonelli, 66, and then it drops to Isaac Hadjar, 38, and Nico Hülkenberg, 37. And for teams, we have McLaren, 617, Ferrari, 280, Mercedes, 260, Red Bull Racing, 239, Williams, 86, Aston Martin, 62, Racing Bulls, 61, Kick Sauber 55, Haas 44, and Alpine 20. Now, with that, thank you for listening to the Italian Grand Prix recap. This was a fun one, and I'll be back next week with an interview, and then we'll have Baku after that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.